everyone, and welcome to God-Sized Stories. This is your host, Patricia Holbrook, and I am so glad you're listening today. Despite spending more per person on healthcare than any other country in the world, 2 out of 3 American adults are overweight, obese, or suffer from a chronic disease. According to Mayo Clinic, actually 70% of all Americans are on at least one prescription drug. More than half of Americans are taking 4 or more prescriptions. That's crazy. Well, in today's episode, I talk to a husband and wife duo with a beautiful story of redemption and renewed purpose after addiction, divorce, and brokenness. Robbie and Mia Graham were both delivered from addictions through their relationship with Jesus Christ. And then they met and fell in love while in AA. After miraculously surviving a heart attack at 58, Robbie was able to reverse his heart disease through eating a plant-based diet. And after this revelation, which healed his body, and with the leading from the Holy Spirit, he and Mia opened a faith-based, plant-based cafe in their hometown of Tampa, Florida. And the goal of this cafe is to help healing people body and spirit. Soon, doctors were even prescribing the cafe's meal plans as a means to lower patients' cholesterol. The remarkable story of healing, faith, and food is being told in a new documentary. It's called Revelations Cafe, Food for the Soul, and it's out right now. Well, in our interview, they share their incredible journey from brokenness to a purpose-filled life that will certainly inspire you. Get ready to be blessed by another God-sized story. Well, I am so happy that you guys joined me for this interview to find out a little bit more about you, about your documentary that was released in January, I believe, and also about Revelations Cafe, that is an incredible story. So I would love for us to start by you guys just telling me a little bit about your story, about, you know, I know that there's a beautiful story of redemption in your life. And so tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I guess I'll start first. So a little bit about it is I grew up as a, you know, small boy in Detroit, Michigan. My parents moved to Florida when I was very young. So I kind of was uprooted at a young life, had to restart new friends, all that in Florida. And had a really good childhood. I've got 2 loving parents that they both till death do them part. They made it through. We were never big churchgoers, but my mom always seemed to carry a little bit of faith with her wherever she went, but I was never big in church. But I became, you know, hooked by the world standards. I got hooked into, you know, becoming, wanting to be a successful businessman. So I went to college, got a degree, followed through with a lot of those things, got married, was in a what I thought was a great relationship with someone that I thought I'd spend the rest of my life with. Things went bad, and we were never Christ followers at that time. So we got divorced. And so, of course, in my mid-40s, I decided I was going to, you know, reinvent the new me, got into bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. I should say got back into bodybuilding. I was always competitive when I was younger, started lifting hard, was getting in pretty good shape. Then I injured my back severely. And that's when I got hooked on pain medication and took a very strong turn for the worse. Mm-hmm. It was about a 3-year where I spiraled out of control, where I was doing eating them and drinking alcohol with them. Then I went to snorting them. And then it became where I was an IV drug user and I started to shoot them. And then it went to very much illegal. And I lost everything and found myself beaten, broken, defeated, and homeless at the Salvation Army at the age of, believe it or not, 51 years of age. And wow. It was, that's where I ended up. And at April 28, 2013, I stood up for the first time in the Salvation Army chapel as a non-religious man. And I got radically wrecked by the Holy Ghost. I was touched by God during the song Amazing Grace. I fell to my knees. I wept like I've never wept before. And when I sat back down, I knew at that moment everything changed. So that's where I had my come to Christ moment. And again, that was April 28, 2013, as a homeless man in the Salvation Army. And then 3 months later, after that encounter, I had was able to go to an outside meeting. And that's when I bumped into this beautiful young lady.
Oh, she is beautiful. Well, that is incredible. What a story. So you're almost a decade sober and clean, and actually now helping people who have gone through similar situations, whether it is health-wise or with drugs, and families of drug addicts that can find hope and help through your life, through your, I believe, I understand you are life coaches as well. You have a degrees as counselors and life coaches, which is phenomenal. Well, now tell me your story, Mia, a little bit.
So, well, I grew up in Georgia, South Georgia, and I did grow up in church and was very much a lover of Jesus and all things Jesus as a child, and very family oriented until my parents got divorced when I was 13. And it was around that time I started to be really rebellious, and so that just kept on going until I actually married my children's father. I moved to Florida and then married at 23, had my first son at 24, greatest gifts on planet Earth. And I have two boys, and then I was divorced when my boys were 5 and 7. But, you know, for the grace of God, I have a wonderful relationship with my ex-husband today, and he and Robbie are really close, and he's in the documentary. And so God redeemed, you know, what the enemy tried to steal with not only my life, but my children too. You know, they're now young adults and one is married. But anyway, I was always a drinker, very young. I was a drinker. It was part of that rebellion, you know, in my teens. Mm-hmm. And so I think I drank alcoholically all my life because I didn't drink like everybody else did. I always had one too many. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was a social drinker, but I got to the point where my social drinking was not just on the weekends. It was the weekdays. It was nighttime. It was daytime. And then it was morning. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the world we live in, it's socially acceptable to drink at every occasion.
Absolutely.
So it was just for me, because of just the way that I am, you know, made, I think, generationally, it was in my family. My grandfather was an alcoholic. And so I had already had that, you know, a possibility of becoming an alcoholic. I just didn't really put a whole lot into generational curses and things like that when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. So it led me to the place where I finally surrendered my life and I fell into the arms of Jesus, and I've never looked back. And actually, when I met Robbie, it was the first time in my life. I mean, honest, the first time in my life, because I had a boyfriend in preschool, you know, your little balance of boyfriends and things like that. But when I met him, I had actually been in a place where I was not thinking about a boyfriend. I was single, you know, from the world's perspective, I was doing very well because I had my boys on the weekdays, but I did not have them on the weekends. They were with their dad. And so I had freedom on the weekends. I could have dated, you know, and at that point I was sober. And so I was sane, more sane than I was. I've been actively drinking. And so I would have been a good catch for somebody. And I was for Robbie, but.
Of course you were.
But I wasn't looking. I was not looking for a relationship. I wanted to know who Jesus is. And I wanted to know who I was. And so it led me on just this amazing journey that has never ended to this very second of just pursuing Christ at all costs. Yeah. And so because of that, you know, and only that, you know, he has orchestrated everything up to this point, which is why we're here doing this interview.
You know what's funny is it was when I said when I bumped into this young lady, it was funny because I was 3 months clean and sober, living at the Salvation Army as a homeless guy. And then I go to this meeting and I hear the Lord very clearly in my ear point her out and say, she's the one. And I'm like, what? Oh, it was one of those, you know, and I don't hear voices, you know,
I know
we're saying for the most part. And, when that happened, I basically started to have a dialogue with my Heavenly Father. And I was pretty much telling him, you missed the mark on this one. You know, I'm only 3 months clean and sober, and that I'm just trying to find my way back to, you know, knowing and discovering who I was now in Christ, and started to fulfill that destiny of walking my life out, you know, following Jesus. And then all of a sudden I get this one pointed out to me. And of course I start arguing with my dad. And of course I got mad and I said, well, I've got nothing left to give her, because I was lost at all. And he very softly spoke to me. He says, Robbie, I want you to give her your heart. Aww. And I still wasn't having anything to do with it. I got out of the meeting. Isn't that cute? And
then you're so sweet. I have a similar story with my husband. So I love those stories. And I know my audience is going to love it too.
That's awesome. Well, it was funny because I got to the end of the block. I'm getting ready to get back on the Salvation Army bus to go back to the Salvation Army. So you can understand the depravity of my circumstances. Yeah. When I'm talking with somebody, lost track of where Mia was, and she came up behind me and popped a bracelet I was wearing. And the bracelet said, better together. And she was wearing the same one. And that was almost 10 years ago.
So oh my God.
That's how this whole thing began. It's pretty spectacular.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, I had a very similar story with my husband. It was like, was something similar to the fact that when we met, you know, we knew that we were supposed to be together. And it was a crazier story because I lived in Brazil. I'm from Brazil originally. That's where the accent, it ain't from Texas, just so you know. And so I was living in Brazil when he came in business, and I had a language institute in Brazil, and we were hired to do the translation of the event. Mm-hmm. So when we met, it was like, you know, although we kind of thought that it was going to be it, we knew it wasn't going to happen because it's so far away. But yeah, so it's so cool. God works. But the thing is, and I see this in my own life with me and Steve, 23 years later, and you see this now, is because the purpose was higher, right? The purpose was not, I mean, the love is the cherry on top. The purpose for God putting the two of you together was definitely higher. And, you know, using your life story, your experiences, your hardships, your mistakes to help others to find the help that Christ can give in health, right? Through the Revelations Cafe, which is another story, another miraculous story. And I love that. Tell us, because this is what the documentary is about. It's about, of course, your life and about, but it's about this cafe that you guys opened. Tell us, where did you get this idea? How was it born?
So the cafe, as you mentioned earlier, we both have degrees in counseling, and then we were both certified as the life coaches. So the cafe came when we were not pursuing a career in the field of food at all. Mm-hmm. So it was when I was praying about the coaching aspect of my life. My boys were still in high school at the time, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 22 years. So I knew I needed to prepare myself for whatever was going to be next, because my identity really for all the years until I started walking with Jesus was a mother, you know, that mm-hmm. was who I was. And so I was just praying about this coaching business. At that time, I knew I didn't want to be a counselor because I'm more of a solution-based person. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do to fix it? Like, yeah. Let's not talk about what's wrong. Let's talk about what we're going to do. So God gave me a vision of this cafe, and I knew it was a knowing. I knew the name. I knew the color. I knew the purpose. I knew the menu, but I did not think it was for me. I actually thought it was going to be for one of my coaching clients. I just really, because I have a prophetic gift, it's not uncommon that God will speak to me about a certain person or situation in advance. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm in that moment, he reveals what that was about. And so right. It was that's what I thought it was. And so I mentioned it to my life coach, and she asked the $1 million question, what makes you think this isn't for you? And I started praying about it, and God just was, he kept confirming it. I mentioned it to Robbie, and Robbie was like, you know, I'll support you, but you know, this isn't my cup of tea. I've been in the restaurant, you know, not in the front end of the restaurant business, but he was a supplier for seafood. He was in the sales for seafood company. So he knew the ins and the out of the restaurant business. Is not a glamorous business, and
no,
don't get in it to get
hard
rich.
Work. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the purpose wasn't about the food. And, but I knew it was a vegetarian, a plant-based vegetarian. And what's interesting about that is, you know, because God is all knowing, I didn't know the plant-based industry was going to be so huge, because when God gave me the vision for this, it was in around 2017. It wasn't as popular as it is today.
Right.
And my husband was healthy, carnivore, you know, bodybuilder. And so the fact that he ended up having a heart attack while we were in the build out of the cafe wasn't anything. And we didn't know, we couldn't foretell that this lifestyle was what was going to save, in a sense, be the catalyst that was going to save his life. You know, and reverse the cardiovascular disease. So, you know, God always has a plan way before we know what that plan
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to be in tune, right? And like you said, he speaks sometimes and it doesn't make sense. And you're like, but this doesn't make sense. I have so many testimonies of that too. It's like God says something. I also have a prophetic gift. So it's like God says something, whether it's, you know, through reading the scriptures or in your heart or whatever, he talks to you. And so many times it's just one step that he gives you, right? It's just like, do this one thing, and you do that one thing, and then it just like he just starts opening doors. It's just, well, my podcast is a situation like that, you know, that it was during the pandemic. We were, my husband and I, ministry was pretty much like nothing was happening. And my husband and I were talking about what to do. And God just gave me this idea of the podcast. And I was like, my gosh, I'm podcast. I don't know people. And now it's like, I am booked up 6 months in advance, you know, with guests, because praise God. It's to him the glory. But again, it's one of the things that, you know, he does not reveal to you the full picture. And that's exactly what happened. And when I read your story, Robbie, about your heart attack, right? I just have a very good friend who, he is a triathlon, mm-hmm. and he had a heart attack during Ironman, you know, the Ironman competition. And extreme, just like you, fit, you know, in great shape. And I don't know the ins and outs of what exactly happened to him. We used to go to church together, but we don't see each other all the time anymore. But it was your case, right? You were like anybody that would look at you, you know, you're a bodybuilder, you just look like this fit guy. Tell me a little bit about the situation and how the verse that comes to my mind is Romans 8:28, that God, you know, he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Tell us how that heart attack, how life-changing it was to you and how it ties to this story.
The reason it was so life-changing for me is, you know, first and foremost, like you said earlier, if it makes sense, it's probably not God. God is, he's in the it doesn't make sense business. And me and I have, especially lately, we've recognized that so deeply in our walk with him. Is that, you know, he'll ask us to do things that we tilt our head and go, that just doesn't make any sense, Lord. And then when we do it and the door opens, we go, oh, okay, now we understand. So in the whole grand scheme of things, I mean, if you think about this logically, does it make sense for a guy who's a carnivore, who eats meat on a regular basis, to be going into business with his wife to open a plant-based cafe and go home and eat a steak? Doesn't it kind of sound hypocritical? Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't going to change my ways because I felt perfectly fine. Because if I'm in the gym and I'm working out, I'm taking care of myself. Everything takes care of itself. I don't need to watch my diet. I can eat whatever I want and exercise and I'll be good to go. Well, I was obviously sadly mistaken. And so where this really came to be is it was a heart issue with me. And I mean that two ways. Number one, it was a physical heart issue. And the one of the things that we recognize in the scriptures is Proverbs 4:23, which is guard your heart. Why? Mm-hmm. Because everything we do flows from it.
Absolutely.
That means it also flows through it, our blood, right? The blood flows through it. So what I was doing is I was eating a lot of animal-based products and I was eating a lot of dairy. And even on the outside, I looked like I was perfectly fine. But on the inside, what I was doing is I was really clogging my arteries. And I'll say this, there are people genetically predispositioned. So this is not for everyone, but there are people that are genetically predispositioned that have cardiovascular disease in their family. It's like a generational curse. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you can either go ahead and say, yep, I got that, and I'm just going to not care, and I'm going to do what I want, and you're going to pay the consequence, or you have to make some changes. And I truly believe, as Mia said earlier, if it wasn't for the fact that the Lord gave her the vision for this cafe, I probably never would have had the lights go on, and I could have very easily went onto the bitter end. So that's where it's affected me, is when I went plant-based immediately within 3 months, the results were absolutely undeniable. My cholesterol, that was dropped. I went off blood pressure medicine. I started to have more energy, more strength. I was feeling better than I did when I was not eating a plant-based diet. So yes, for me, it ended up being God got my attention and I listened.
I love that. You know, I have high cholesterol, and I have mine was just during the pandemic, I put on a lot of weight. I stopped exercising, and there's just a long story, but there were a lot of things happening, and I ended up just not taking care of myself. And I put on a lot of weight, and it looks like with that, the cholesterol went up. But I also have family. My dad has a horrible blockage. He's 87, but he has a very big blockage on his artery. And so I did this year, I started the month of January with the Daniel Fast, you know, which is plant-based. Yes. So I did 21 days of the Daniel Fast. And one of the things that I told my husband is, you know, I have, I went back to exercising, but at my age, like I would always like, okay, I would wake up with like stiff, you know, after exercising or hurting. And for those days that I did this diet, I had no pain. It's like I was 18 again, and you know, with like no, and of course I went back to eating meat after the 21 mm-hmm. days, but I really,
no condemnation.
I know, but I think that deep down inside, I know that I really need to stay at least on a pescatarian diet because of the cholesterol, you know, I love that. And I know that there's just, we could have a whole interview just talking about the benefits of plant-based diet, but I would love to know a little bit more about your business, you know, about this cafe. So one of the things is that it has like a lot of things that point people to the Lord, right? I mean, it is definitely an unapologetically Christian business. So tell us a little bit about how you incorporate your faith and how it impacts people.
It's interesting because people will come in who are Christians and they'll say things like, oh my gosh, you know, you are so bold with your faith. And, you know, I just am so happy for you and so proud of you. And I think to myself, are we? Because we're just being who we are. Like, we're not even thinking about it. Like, there's no separation between our faith and what we do. We are what we do because of our faith. So mm-hmm. it's just part of who we, you know, who we are. We just we live, breathe, sleep, and eat all things Christ. And so he's in all of our conversations. And when people come in the door, you know, and we recognize a need, Jesus is always the answer, and we pray for people, and we have little note cards on all of our tables, and some of them have scriptures, and, you know, some of them have questions, and we have little notepads where people can write their little comments and answers to the questions down or ask for prayer. And we have a prayer wall that was actually totally divinely placed in there. God had given me a vision of this prayer board, a wooden prayer board. And I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And so I told our contractor towards the end of the project, like months later, he came up to me one random day and he said, hey, I'm going to do that board for you today. Can you draw? Because, you know, they like specs. And so I had my little measure ruler out drawing it for him. And I said, you just need to go to Home Depot and get some nails. So I'd ask him to put like a darker cross in the center of the lighter wood, because we had a lot of dark wood pieces and lighter wood pieces. And then I said, don't worry about it. It's at the end of the project. You've done enough. Just leave it the way it is. And so he was sawing the board this particular day. A lady came to see me, but I wasn't there. And they told her to come back in the afternoon. And then the son had gone to Home Depot to get the nails for the board. So once it was done, they could just put the nails, we could hang it on the wall. People could hang their prayer request on the board. And so I was there. I went back to the cafe, and the lady who dropped came by to see me came back to drop off a gift. And the gift was the prayer board.
Oh my gosh.
That God told me to make. In that precise moment, months and months had gone by since God had given me the vision of the board. Months had gone by since I had told the contractor. And in the second, literal second he was making the board, somebody that didn't know anything about it brought the board. And so it's hanging on the wall, and people actually come because they know the board is there, and they come to leave prayers. A man the other day came in and said, you know, I have cancer. I'm just getting out of Moffitt. I just had surgery. I've been in and out of the hospital. And I've heard you have a prayer board back here. And if I can just leave a prayer request on there, then maybe the energy will come. And I said, oh, Jesus will come. And then I told him about the woman with the issue of blood, because, you know, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just everything we do, we're just submerged in an atmosphere of Christ. So it's just who we are, you know. It's nothing really that we do. It's just who we are.
Yes, that's so beautiful. I mean, I can, you know, when I came to Christ later in life, I was 25 when I came to, not later, you know, but you know what I mean. I wasn't born in brought up a church. And there's something about it when Jesus comes and turns your life upside down, like he did mine, Robbie's, and yours too, Mia, you know, there's a fire in you that it's like, I'm not saying that people who were brought up at church don't have it. It's not that, but you just see that. So it's a very frequent narrative, you know, that you hear about people that come, especially when they come in a situation like where God really took you out of a very hard situation and change your life forever, you know, which is the case for all of the three of us. So, yeah. You know, we just want to tell people about him because he's a miracle maker, right? And we just love that about him. I love that. Now, let me just ask you this. Why, first of all, I'm curious, Mia, were you already a vegetarian before all this?
I actually never liked meat. I was raised in the South, and so we ate what we were fed.
Yes.
You didn't have a choice. You ate what was on your plate, whether you liked it or not. You held your nose if you didn't like it, or feed it to the dog. We ate it. And so I always ate it, never really cared for it. I don't know why. I guess I didn't have a choice at that time. But even, you know, I went back and forth with vegetarian throughout my life. And then, you know, I had kids and chicken tenders. And I always think I like the batter and the sauce more than I actually liked what was in it.
Yeah.
And I never really liked the taste of like steak. And I was always the one to get that piece that had the gristle and all that. I never liked it. And I never liked fish. I just didn't like the taste of fish. And so a vegetarian is just a natural thing for me. It's just it's just my taste. So it wasn't because I chose it. It's just the way I am.
Yes, I hear you. Well, I have heard that you have, while you were doing research about the plant-based lifestyle, you have learned a lot of shocking things about the American health system and the overall health of Americans. So can you share with us what you have found out?
I'll step in on this one. Yeah. So it's basically, you know, it's the standard American diet, and it's pretty sad. And there's been a lot of different documentaries out there, Forks Over Knives, as you know, Plant Pure Nation, The Game Changers was a big one. What the Health? Those are some of the big ones that are out there that basically shine the light in the darkness, where we believe that if we don't have these different types of products, and there's an initiative behind it. And let's face it, Big Pharma makes money. And Big Pharma makes money. The sicker you are, the more medication they can prescribe you, the more procedures they can give you. And food is medicine. It's just that simple. And it's not an unknown concept. Dr. Colin Campbell, who is also in our documentary, wrote the China study, and it goes back several years, and it looks at just places on the planet where people eat a primarily plant-based diet. They just don't have cancer or diabetes, different types of inflammatory diseases, cardiovascular disease. It's just not prevalent. So there has to be some correlation. So that's realistically where you can look at where this, you know, the science comes together. Perfect example is with the Game Changers. And now I know it as an athlete, I know it to be true, is that when you eat a lot of red meat or you do a lot of dairy, what you do is you coagulate your blood and you slow that process down. And they showed that athletes that change from a solid meat diet, which gets them all the protein they need, but what happens is it makes them sluggish and slows them down. They change that. They find out that their blood flow goes up tremendously and they're able to perform longer, last, which gives them much more longevity when they're playing, let's say, football or a sport where you're got to be on the field for, you know, 60 minutes of hardcore really going after it. So that's where we know that a lot of the science that's been made available to all of us is based on the standard American diet. And if most people would just transfer to eating more fruits and vegetables, I'm not going to shame anyone. We're not here to tell people don't eat
meat.
I'm a reformed carnivore. And when I say reformed, the only reason I don't eat meat is not because I don't want to. It's because it's not good for me. That's just who I am. And that's my body type. And there might be people that can say, well, I eat meat and I drink, you know, a quarter whiskey a week and I smoke 3 packs a day and I'm 95 and I'm not going to quit. Hallelujah. If that works for you, that's fine. But the science still really points to the fact that if you are overindulging in anything that's not good for you, it's going to catch up with you. Just that simple.
You know, and let's just be real. The science, again, confirms what the Word of God says, because, you know, the Word of God is so clear that, you know, we are not to be to have excesses in our lives. You know, Paul talks about the people whose God is their belly, you know. Mm-hmm. So in other words, like the appetites is really what more important than anything else. And when you have a society and church too that, you know, is hurting health-wise as well, you know, with obesity and other things that we know that are going on, I think it's time to just stop and think, you know, what am I doing? You know, we know that God calls our body the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are precious to Him. So we really have to be more intent in not just caring for the spirit, but also caring for our bodies, right? And I know that this is the environment at Revelation Cafe that you guys created as well. You created an environment to feed the mind, the body, and the soul, right? That's like your purpose. So what are some of the ways that your customers are experiencing health for the body, the mind, and the soul?
Go ahead, Mary.
Yes. So we actually do pod meetings the third Thursday of the month. And it's just a community effort to bring people together and talk about food and talk about spirituality, talk about, you know, exercise, and just to create that community aspect where people can come in and not think that, you know, we're not experts in the field by any means. We've just learned through our own, you know, trial and error, what works. And, you know, I'm almost 50 and I'm in, you know, really good shape for someone my age. I feel like I'm 26. Yeah. That's going to be, you know, what I
thought that that's how old you were. You're just like,
yeah,
no way.
Exactly.
I'm not even as old as she is. I'm not even.
Oh, I believe it, Robbie.
Mm-hmm. But, we just try to bring people together, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, feel alone on this journey of health and spirituality too. And, you know, the pandemic did bring awareness of some of these very same things, this the social anxiety, just, you know, overeating, as you mentioned that you experienced yourself. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully we're post-pandemic and we can gather together and we can share our experience, strength, and hope, and we eat and we fellowship. And so that is one of the ways that we educate people. And then, you know, we're just always available. We're in the cafe. If I'm not in there or Robbie's not in there or Chef Lori is in there and all of us are answering questions and sitting down and breaking bread with people all the time. So we try to stay approachable and available for people, you mm-hmm. know, whoever you are, whatever phase of life, to be able to come and to just have a conversation.
No, that's great. Do you have have you guys already created a Revelations Cafe like cookbook or anything like that that you are, is that in the works?
We've talked about it. Our chef, yeah. I think she has a cookbook coming. So it will be interesting to see when and how that transpires.
I saw, I was like, I wish I lived there because I'd be going there to eat because it looks, the food looks amazing. It looks really yummy. That's the one thing that is that when I did this is not the first time that I do the Daniel Fast. I always get to, in the business of things, I always get to what am I going to eat? So I end up just eating a fruit or eating, the same salad 200 times, And so, yeah, that's a big one, right? Whenever people are changing to a plant-based diet, it's just to try to cook and create some variety so that they can actually stay long-term. Otherwise, nobody wants to eat the same thing over and over again. Don't care who.
That's so key. And what's really unique is that because of the different types of products that are available today in the plant-based community, we even actually just went because there's Impossible, there's Beyond. Mm-hmm. And although they have their marketplace, we decided that we wanted to take it up a notch. So Chef Lori, as Mia was mentioning, just recently came up with a recipe for a portobello mushroom burger. And we actually, the way she puts it all together and formulates it and does it in the food process, and then we patty them, they're absolutely delicious. I mean, when people bite into them, you see their eyes light up, wow, the flavor profile is so amazing. And also what Chef Lori's created is a brand called Plant Craver. And what we do is we manufacture meals, frozen meals in the cafe. Mm. We fresh freeze them. And then they're basically whole food, plant-based, no oil. And they're great one portion servings at people. And we're starting to see a tremendous influx of people that are busy during the week and they need something for a grab and go. It's a great grab and go. So there's a lot of things that I believe that God is starting to move to the surface that will start to be the next area where he wants us to move forward in.
That is great. And now, is this something that you guys also ship, or is it only at the cafe that people can buy?
Currently, it's only at the cafe, but we're certainly always open to any type of partner that would like to come along and help us manufacture on a larger scale level and take this brand out there. Because what we did do is once we realized Lori's gifts and her abilities and her talents, we immediately trademarked the brand Plant Craver. So we owned the trademark to it. And so that makes it just makes it that much easier for us to take that brand and go global with it. If it's the Lord.
There's certainly an influx, right? I mean, everywhere you go, it's like there's just even Walmart has a ton of plant-based stuff. There's a growth for sure. I think that people are getting more and more aware of the need to just eat healthier, But that's wonderful. Well, I hate it. This is such a good conversation. We're running out of time, but I wanted to ask a last question. Sure. What is next for Revelations Cafe? What is what do you believe that is the next things that God's going to do through you guys? And how can people connect with you?
So, we believe that God wants to take this message to the body of Christ primarily. There is a need, for an awareness and education on how to honor the temple with the food that we eat. And that goes all the way from what you're eating to when you're eating, because I feel like God wants to speak to his people. And sometimes we get distracted by food, and it's not to shame or condemn anyone. It's simply just to educate people. And so our hope is that, we will have the opportunity to take this message. We did a summit at January 8th is when the summit we aired. It's available at www.revelationscafefilm.com. Mm-hmm. And it's really a ton of resources and material where people can purchase it for $79. And they have all access to this information. There's cookbooks available from Kim Campbell. There's the documentary. There's books. There's some amazing faith-based plant-based material, as well as just faith-based material out there that they can have access to. And so we just believe that God wants us to carry this message to the body of Christ. So we're looking forward to partnering with more churches, big, small, it doesn't matter. You know, wherever God leads us is wherever we'll go.
Well, awesome. That is.
And I just wanted to hold that up too. That's the book that the Lord had me and I wrote. That was the catalyst that started the cafe. It's 222 says it was always you. It's the signs, miracles, and wonders that led us to become husband and wife in just 11 months as a homeless man and a single mom. And it's ironic, we're doing the interview today. Mia had to travel to St. Augustine where we got engaged at the cross in St. Augustine. So,
oh, how neat. How cool. So you guys are, well, you're separated, but you're able to see where you guys got engaged there. That's so great. Well, this has been, well, listen, what a pleasure it was to get to know you guys. And I will, I'm going to put all this information on my show notes with a link to the revelationscafefilm.com, right? Your website, yes, where people can get all this great information. And listen, may God bless you in these endeavors, you know, continue to spread the word of God and good health, mental health, soul and body. I love that. That's what the Lord wants for all of us. So God bless y'all.
Thank you, Patricia. God bless you. We appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wasn't that a great conversation? I really enjoyed talking to Mia and Robbie. Well, if you go to my show notes now, you will find a link to revelationscafefilm.com. And there you will be able to watch this movie and connect with Mia and Robbie, and also find wonderful resources that they talked about in this interview. And don't forget to share this episode on social media and leave me a review. I really appreciate that. It does help with the rankings of the show. And until we meet again, may God bless and strengthen you as you continue to write your own God-sized story. Thanks for listening.